more kind of your perspective.
Can I, should I eat?
Yeah. Relax.
Yeah.
Just get out your perspective of what, grandma and grandpa were like, you know, as you were, you know, a kid growing up.
Well, there were two different types of people. In other words, she was of the Orthodox nature. He was more modernized. She was indirectly. She was of a more religious nature, and they were two different people. If it wasn't for the children, they would never stayed married. She was more closer to the religion in the ways. He respected her, so he abided by her. But he was a man who, he liked, you know, he knew his way around. He liked people. He liked to do things. There were two entirely different types. And years ago, and even today, if you went to Europe, in other words, like I was speaking to a Greek fellow, where if one family knows the other family, family background was so sufficient. In other words, introduction was so powerful. They knew of the family. Knowing of the family, to a certain extent, this is what made the relationship. That's how it was in those days. In other words, as long as you came from this good family, that means you'd have a happy life. Or if there was some money, you know, you wouldn't be that poor. It wasn't like today's.
So that was sort of more important rather than the fact that you actually liked each other.
Yes. The family background, what's the word? You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, the significance of stability. Being comfortable, being what's the word? So
anyway, I know what you
mean. Yeah, all right. So they were from two different societies, but still the children was the foundation. But he had no education, very little. But the man deserved a lot of credit. He had a lot of desire, and he did all that. I mean, went into business with no money, $1,000. He had the moxie. None of his children had the moxie. You want me to use profanity?
Sure.
All right. We were going into the clothing business. I don't know if you remember when you bought
that.
The gloves. All right. We needed money to buy, you know, when you're in business, going into business is one thing, but you got to have inventory.
Right.
You need money to pay your sources. Or they don't want to, because we didn't have a Dun & Bradstreet in that time. Well, you need $3,000. Well, he had, according to the bank, no collateral. He was new in business a year. They had nothing to go by for that $3,000. So he told the bank, you know, the bank, don't worry, I'm in another business, and that money will be covered. So the bank president hesitated. So, only your grandpa. He says, I'll tell you what, take the $3,000 or $5,000, shove it up your ass. You understand me? And walks out. The bank president, I remember who he was, sends one of his tellers, or his assistants, go get that man. He runs out the door and says, Mr. So-and-so requests you to please come back. So, you know, Charlie, I used to call him by, he liked, I called my father by his first name. Charlie turned around and he went back with Harold. Harold was with him. He says, Mr. Connor, I'm a bank president for 25 years, 30 years. Nobody has ever told me to do what you told me. He says, any man that has the guts to say that, I'm going to give you the loan. He says, I can't. And he liked it. I knew the bank. I was a kid, but he was a woozer, you see. And my father paid him. My father made, that was the prime factor. And unfortunately, it was, you know, it was us, it was me, I was young. That was it. As far as being successful, I could have had my own store. Mm-hmm. We had a Dun & Bradstreet. You built up a Dun & Bradstreet in those days. 50, 75, 100,000 from nothing. We had nothing. Mm-hmm. He paid his bills, you see, and that became collateral.
Right.
Credit-wise. But then I was young. I wasn't drawing any money. So, you know, you're fresh out of college, and I had no benefits. And I saw myself, I was hustling to flea market. You call them flea markets. I don't know if you got them here. Mm-hmm. We got them on the East Coast. Years ago, we used to call them farmers markets. And I saw myself hustling. Yeah, we were making money there, but the store was big. Pay, we had a high rental. We were a partnership instead of a corporation. We paid everybody off. In other words, there was a lot of knowledge that I didn't have, that I should have had. And I felt I'd be better. That's how I normally see it. I'd be better working with somebody else. I was drawing $75 a week, but I couldn't see the essence because being single, he felt the money needed the business. He had three sons. He went to three stores. That was in the back of his mind. No education. But he had a very bad temper. In other words, my father, he didn't have to hit you. He'd look at you. You were scared of him. But he loved his kids. Very good nature. Very good nature.
By the way, do you feel you get your temper from him?
Oh, definitely. Well, I'm a Gemini. Geminis are not bisexual. I can't say. Geminis have split. Well, I can't be kissing you later. Geminis have a split personality. That's
very hot.
Thank you.
Dude, that's enough to feed an army.
Your plate is not split.
I need some. My plate is cold. You're hotter than this plate. you have salad on here? Ketchup or something?
It's ketchup?
Thousand Island dressing.
It's on here, huh? Okay. All right, thank you.
So one thing I noticed about. So I guess this is what I was talking about before, but. So what was my mom like growing up when she was a kid, or as you knew her?
Well, she was under a lot of, well, she calls him Papa Joe.
Right.
But my father, I think, took closer, it was took to your mother more. Mm-hmm. In other words, that was his daughter. I can't say he was good to all the boys, where my mother, we were closer to. Because sometimes, thank you. Sometimes, is that decaf? Okay. Sometimes, you know, he was hard to talk to. And my mother being European, see, she was a very lonely woman. And when you turn that thing off, I'll tell you something about her, but not on record.
Mm-hmm.
And she was very lonely, and she took her children.
Okay, so they objected to her because they felt that her place should be at home. And then she went to Florida.
She went to Florida, and she came back. She was always sickly. And she was always good to me. I mean, but there was that feeling, being that a girl's place, a woman, you know, a girl's place, a daughter belonged home, even though she felt.
I mean, was my mom rebellious, or did she feel suppressed, or what was her motivation?
I don't know. I guess she felt there was maybe no life for her there. Mm-hmm. No, I was very young, don't forget. There's a big difference. I think we're 14 years difference. Mm-hmm. That's right. 14 years difference, and then Harold was 17. I was a young. But she was good to me. I mean, growing up, my mother was sick a lot. And I remember, that's why I love Nettie so much. She was maybe closer to me, being I was the younger brother. She took me places, took me things. In other words, what kind of thing?
So anyway, so refocusing on mom.
Huh?
Refocusing on mom.
Yeah.
So the brothers, brothers kind of stayed within the fold or within the family, and my mom was zipping out there.
She zipped out. They resented that. She knew that. They resented that. And I guess he didn't, father did. Charlie did. You know, but she was not happy at home. Mm-hmm. No, it's certainly when in her young days she was happy. But you know, I guess a girl hits a certain age, she wants to get married or wants a life of her own, and she didn't feel that she had that thing. Mm-hmm. That's how. She said she took off because she used to have colds, but there's always, there's psychologically, there's more, and I always felt there's more than that. I mean, you could use any excuse when you do it, but there's, like you're trying to find the roots. I feel that was the root of the situation, in my own opinion, of course. See? But she was good to me. And, you know, if there was problems, they felt she was here. You know, they felt she should have been part of the problems. Which, how could she? She had a life here or whatever, mm-hmm. going back. But she had a rough, you know. And, you know, only if she, a few times she did come home. She nearly got divorced. Mm-hmm. I remember it was after you, I think, or whatever. She had a, you know, her and Jack kind of rough, I don't know, there's a personality. I think it was more because of Lois in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I remember because my father tried to keep the marriage going. You see.
Now, interestingly enough, I mean, it's obvious that, you know, none of the siblings were married at an early age, let alone the fact that, you know, you and Happy were never married, and, you know, Harold's were very short duration, at least the second one, I guess. And then Mom waited till she was, you know, much older before marrying. I just wonder, like, is that because of, like, the involvement with, you know, the family?
I think that has a lot to do with it. And as you get older, it gets worse, it gets rough. People say to me, I just don't find anybody. I mean, as you get older, there's problems. There's health, there's very few people. And you know yourself. Nobody even said this to Nettie. You know, everything's all right. But if you tell me, you meet a woman out of one-on-one, and for some reason, if you run into medical problems or sick problems, they really didn't want to get involved. You know, they figure they got grown children or whatever. And that's how life is today. I mean, there's exceptions to the rule in everything, in everybody that you would meet. But
what was your motivation for going to college?
I was not really college material.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted to. They pushed me.
Because nobody, none of the other kids went to college.
No. But they felt that the money was not needed at home. They were, the bills and everything was paid, and they wanted me to get the education. I paid for my own, but I didn't have to pay money in the house. Mm-hmm. I used to work in the Catskills. In those days, I worked there after school. I mean, I always had part-time jobs, but they felt I should get the education. In other words, if I pay for it, I don't have to give anything into the house.
Right.
How I get it, you know, if I really wanted it at that time. But money was tight. We didn't have it. We let a lot of opportunities. I mean, buying a house. My father was very good. We would own the house. Him and we owned the house at France. No, we lived in a house in North Bergen when I first moved in 1942 to 47. And my father, a friend of his, and he moves in. Two family. It's a coincidence. I think we were there first.
Mm-hmm.
And the house was for sale. And money was very tight. And he told my father believed him. He said, Charlie, as long as, what are you worried about? I'll buy the house, because they were working very close.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I'm here or something, you've always got a roof over your head. So my father lets him buy it. Mm-hmm. Biggest mistake. Even if you had a running steal, the house was, it became worth a fortune.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think he froze us out? About 3 years later, his daughter gets married. See? And the guy came back from the service. He went to the place, it was after World War II. He went to the place to live. We had to move. Then it was rough. We moved. We lived in West New York, then we moved back to North Bergen. He had a rough life. He died from cancer, but he was a hustler. He was a gambler. He loved the game. But he was a sport. He was always my father. If he went shopping with you, I was guilty of it. And I wanted like one pair of pants, he'd get angry at you. I want you to have three pair of pants. I want you to have three shirts. See? And he always took you to a restaurant. We used to love pastrami and pastrami to a country guy. He used to go to New York. Mm-hmm. In other words. But he had a rough temper.
Yeah.
He had a very rough temper. And but you're mellow as you get older. Your father mellow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I remember I couldn't communicate with him for a period of time. I wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
I was raised one way, and your father was raised a different way.
Because getting back to you, so you went to college, or I guess, did you find any more of a direction there, or you just kind of went to college and you learned a bunch of stuff, but you didn't really have a direction there?
I knew what I wanted, but I never got what I wanted.
What did you want?
I wanted to be a buyer for a department store. And I had family in the business, but it never materialized. In other words, I walked the streets, because in those days, college education didn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
It opened up doors, but they offered you department stores. We're offering you $65 and $75 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Here, and that's how I went into discount. I was in discount because I worked Sundays. They paid you more, but you didn't progress.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy who took the lower money, if he had someone involved, then they promoted him.
Right.
So basically speaking, they wanted me, I would be better off, but it was no criteria. Just because you have the education doesn't mean you're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Very true.
But it gives you a background to think. Unless you have a direct skill, you're a doctor. I'm sorry, I didn't want to go back to college. All of a sudden, I would have been very successful. I had no children. A friend of the family was a podiatrist, a foot doctor. Big business, big practice. I had nobody leave with me. No children, never married, no nothing. I used to go over there. And my school had a podiatry school. But I didn't have the sciences. Podiatry needed the sciences. Then it was only 6, maybe 7 year course. Maybe 6 years and a year of an internship. And they told me, with all the schooling I had, I would have to go back for at least two and a half years. So I said, go back. Here, I never brought no money into the house. I got to start to work and bring some money into the house. See? But that was a mistake. Because I would have brought in triple fold, quadruple fold. See? But, you know, that was it. But, I mean, they were good to me. I was a younger brother. I can't say they were all good. I became very close to Happy. Mother moved out, and Happy was in a rut in his 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And I always had friends, a lot of friends, and he used to stay home a lot. He was very devoted to the family.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not a well boy, but he liked to cook and clean.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very good running the house. That was one of the things that was very hard for me. When he died, Harold was taken. When Harold went into the hospital, it was murder. Because I'm not good paperwork. And all of a sudden, orders were thrown in to my lap. Running this, running that, going to this bank. In other words, you know, there's a lot of things. Taking care of this problem. And I was spurred to the fact that I never had to do it. So, but they were very good to me. He was a terrific guy. You didn't know him that well, but he was one of the best brothers you could have. I mean, see, unfortunately, you don't have a brother or a sister. But you could have a brother and sister and fight all the time too, and not be happy.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, and even Harold. Harold was good. But we see, God bless you. We were closer in age we're 12 years apart. Mm-hmm. So I made my friends his friends. And I got to a point where I didn't let him stay home. I go to a dance, he had to go to a dance. Mm-hmm. I went away for a weekend, he went away for that weekend. And my friends accepted him. Mm-hmm. And that's the way he was. Very good person. They don't come anybody.